welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. And Laura, we are deep into football. Four practices, and so Sunday is the first day off for the 49ers, and I think they've earned it. And then when they get back to work, they'll be padded up and hitting people. But I tell you what, these first four practices have not disappointed.
No, not at all. And there were a ton of people out there on Saturday, it looked like. Just everybody really excited. I mean, a lot of the media members, fans back out there, and they had the rookie hype machine going.
I'm disappointed in the rookie hype machine.
Really? It's not as good.
Yeah.
I know in the past it has been, it's been like you want to bookmark the videos to watch.
Yeah, there have been guys, gosh, who was it? Like DJ Reed or somebody did backflips. We've had some offensive linemen do the worm. Mike McGlinchey really set the bar high in 2018. In fact, let's talk a lot about McGlinchey later. But when he was drafted, he came out and did something crazy and got the fans fired up.
Wasn't there used to be karaoke?
Not karaoke. No,
I thought somebody sang a song or something.
I don't remember that, but I just remember like craziness and guys really showing their personality and running up into the stands and doing crazy hijinks and dancing and all this stuff. And it's been pretty tame. Like Trey Lance put a big hat on. He was the first one and waved a flag, but it's been pretty much get in, get out. Aaron Banks was pretty good, but if you get a chance to listen to Mike McGlinchey's press conference after the practice on Saturday, he was so good talking about so many different things, but he started off like talking like very seriously about, you know, breaking down the film of the rookie hype machine. Like, you know, we need to see better effort. You know, he was like doing the whole thing like a coach would. It was pretty remarkable press conference.
Yeah, when you have a showing like he did his rookie season, then you're allowed to weigh in on the film that you need to study, that the rookies obviously need to study and get better at the rookie hype machine. And if you don't know what we're talking about, every training camp the rookies have to do, they call it the hype machine, go out in front of the fans and do something embarrassing or...
to get them fired up.
To get them fired up.
It doesn't have to be embarrassing. They could just kind of turn into Laura Britt, the cheerleader, the UAB cheerleader that gets
there. You go.
Fired up. Yeah,
you want to get everybody hyped, the rookie hype machine. Yeah. So yeah, Mike McGlinchey had so much to say, and I thought so much of it was really good because the fans were tough on him last year. Mm-hmm. They were really tough on him and expected more, and he expected more out of himself. But one thing that I was surprised to hear outside of the food, we'll get to that in just a second, but was the mental aspect of his game. He hired a mental sports performance coach, and he went on to talk about the reasoning behind that. He kind of got in his own head last year, mm-hmm. and he wasn't able to bounce back from games. So he was working with this coach, which I think is incredible and great for him to have recognized that about himself. And now, you know, he obviously is in a better mental space.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to, let's talk more about McGlinchey after we had this great interview. We were joined by Peter King of NBC Sports. And Peter is one of these guys I've known for many years. He travels this time of year, travels around the country, goes to training camps. I'm not sure how many training camps he's going to make it to this particular summer, but I mean, in the past, I mean, he hits almost all of them. And then last year, of course, he didn't go to any because of all the restrictions of travel and everything else. But it's always good to hear guys who come in, they learn about the team. You know, first off, they research and kind of figure out where they want to go with their line of questioning, what they want to be looking for, and then to hear kind of how that meshes with what they came out of it with. And, you know, one of the things, you know, you talk about the rookie hype machine. Now, I think with the 49ers, if you said rookie hype machine, you might be talking about a particular player because I was, how should we say this, Laura? I thought that Trey Lance had virtually really no chance just because of how difficult it is for rookies, rookie quarterbacks to step in and play well. And I know it's only been four practices, but my thinking has kind of changed a little bit because of what I've seen. And we'll talk more about that after we hear from Peter King. But I have found these four practices just really interesting to watch. And it's lived up to the hype too. You know, you and I have been talking for months about the opening of training camp and what's going to be exciting to watch and who's going to be competing and what are the concerns and what are the reasons for optimism and all that stuff. And so I have found the first four practices to be highly entertaining, with the offense having their day in the sun, with the defense responding, with guys stepping up and playing well. And I just think the first 4 days of practice, and again, it's just 4 days, but man, I would imagine that it's just 4 days, but
I was going to say, Matt, the rookie hype machine, we have the Mayoko hype machine.
Oh, I'm telling you, I just think that there's probably every position group right now, their coaches are going, yeah, this is what we want to see. That's what I think through four practices.
I really am interested to hear your thoughts on the quarterback situation, especially with how impressed you were with Trey Lance. I know you're going to give us more details on that.
But first, remember, I was really impressed with Jimmy Garoppolo after that first practice.
Yes,
I thought Jimmy looked fantastic that first practice.
So we'll talk about all of that. But first, let's hear from Peter King. Before we get to Peter King, we're going to hear from Big O Tires.
At Big O Tires, you can trust that you're getting a good deal. Hurry into your local Big O for tires, services, and great deals you can trust. Plus, pay nothing today with easy and affordable financing options for nearly any budget. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
We are back on 49ers Talk. And hey, Laura, look who it is. It's our colleague at NBC Sports and, of course, Football Morning in America, Peter King.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. This is a big get for us. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, well, thank you, Laura. Yeah, I left the 49ers, and now you're looking at me live in a parking lot in Oxnard, California, outside of Starbucks. It's you really see how the sausage is made when you turn into this pod.
Yeah, this is not a green screen behind you.
No, this is real.
The customers at Starbucks should be paying extra if they can eavesdrop on this conversation. Not,
I don't think they're 49ers fans in Oxnard. Who knows? I don't know.
Peter, I got to start with, I was looking through your Twitter the other day, and I saw that you've got a newfound appreciation for parents right now. You spent a couple days with your grandkids. Have you recovered from that yet?
No, I mean, we were in we got two grandkids. They live in, my daughter and her family, they live in Berkeley. She and her wife they live in a beautiful home in Berkeley, and they do a great job with their kids, with our grandkids. But so they went away to a wedding, and we watched them. And I said, I'll tell you, to do it right, to really do parenting right, it's an investment of time. And you just try to win mentally as much as you can, because, you know, kids are just too smart, and they understand how they can get their way and how they can get what they want. So you've got to always be thinking. And we had a great time. And look, the whole area, the whole Bay Area has really become like an adopted place for us, because I've been there so much over the years, and now with the grandchildren there, we're there even a little bit more.
I love it. I've never related more to a tweet in my life. I've got three young ones, a four-year-old and twins. Wow. That are two. So I play that mental game every day.
Wow. That's amazing. Good for you.
So Peter, you come out here to Santa Clara. You're out here on Thursday. When you kind of arrange your travel schedule for training camp, when you looked ahead to that trip to Santa Clara, what were the things that you wanted to see and talk about and learn about?
I wanted to see, basically, I thought there were three pretty important things. Number one, obviously, the quarterback situation with Garoppolo and Lance, how they were handling it. how Shanahan saw it. It's funny. And when I asked Kyle Shanahan after practice about it, he basically almost preempted my question and said, I have no idea. And how can you have any idea on the second day of training camp? It's impossible. But, you know, I wanted to see that. And I really wanted to see how sort of, you know, how the offensive puzzle pieces are going to fit. Look, 2 years ago in 2019, the day I was in camp, Jalen Hurd had one of the best practices I saw all summer when I was on my tour. And I just thought, wow, Jalen Hurd, he's going to be a good contributing player. And then obviously the last 2 years happened. It's been a debacle. So we'll see what happens. But I wanted to see him. And then the other thing, you know, you really just want to see, like, for instance, you want to see Bosa, you know, and how he's doing. And obviously he's not involved in contact yet, so you really can't tell anything. And I don't know. Those are the things I was looking for coming in.
Got a bird friend with you.
I do. Yeah, he's right above my head.
Chiming in. I
hope he's not very active, if you know what I mean.
That or aggressive, either one.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your big takeaway? You know, you wanted to go and see how the Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo situation was looking. And like you said, there's only so much you can tell early on. But what was your takeaway just in seeing how it was going?
You know, I'm going to write about this in my column Monday, so I guess I'm scooping myself. But the big scene that I saw that really impressed me, honestly, was there was a pass, you know, sort of later in practice where, you know, where Trey Lance had to run around a little bit, and he threw about a 25-yard seam route to Brandon Ayuk, and he caught it. And I was standing right behind the defense as this happened. And it happened to be I was standing behind a lot of starting defensive players. And at that moment, you heard this, because the pass was perfect. The catch was made, and Ayuk turned upfield. And, you know, in a regular game, I don't know, maybe he has 10 yards after the catch, who knows, maybe more. But to me, I have this feeling about training camp. And it isn't only for – because every team is a third new every year, basically. You know, you go to training camp and probably you would assume that 15 to 20 new players who weren't on your team last December are going to be on your team this year. And it just so happens that one of those guys this year is – Trey Lance. So everybody on this team, everybody in this organization, everything he does is under a microscope. And I just believe that part of what happens in the course of training camp is that the young guys, the rookies, they have to show Fred Warner, you know, they got to show Bosa, they got to show Armstead. Look, at some point, I'm probably going to be the guy here. And, he has to show whether he can be trusted. And I think, look, it's only the eighth practice, including OTAs, that Trey Lance has had. So I truly have no idea what the future holds, short or long term. But I do know that yesterday, Trey Lance, with that throw, it was another brick in the wall for him to show his teammates, you're going to be able to trust me.
Yeah, and, you know, Peter, I think when a rookie quarterback comes in with an established veteran, you got to kind of walk a, you know, kind of a tightrope act. And I know you were able to spend some time with Trey, and he really has a good outlook, a good, I don't know, kind of aura for that, because he's not one of these guys who's going to come in and just say, you know, I'm king of the world. He really is he's very measured in what he says, and he makes a point to really defer to Jimmy Garoppolo How important
well,
is that?
Well, he should, right, Matt? Well, he should, because that's his role right now. He's coming into a place, and he knows, look, eventually, may the best man win, and the best man will win. But I'd say it's probably pretty likely that Garoppolo starts the season, and then we'll see what happens. You know, when Jimmy Garoppolo has been healthy, for that one full season, they were a 13-win team, and all went well. But I think the biggest thing, my biggest takeaway, you know, with Lance is not only is he polite, but he's also just been a very diligent worker early on. And I think, you know, talking to John Lynch about him, they've just been really impressed with how he's handled it. And as Lynch told me too, he goes, I think this is, even though he obviously didn't want this to happen, and sorry about the garbage behind me, it feels like it's sort of a fitting thing to do. That, look, it's been quiet here for the first hour that I was sitting here working, and now you've got the garbage going. But anyway, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, Lynch thinks, hey, listen, this has really been good for him. The competition has brought the best out in him, because clearly, and talking to Garoppolo, I think he feels exactly the same way. I don't think he's happy that they traded 3 draft picks to get a quarterback to replace him, but I think he does understand the business. And I tried a lot of different ways, Matt, and you guys I'm sure have too. I tried a lot of different ways to get him to say, so what were you really feeling that day? How about this garbage? I'm just going to go ask him, could you please make a little more noise, please?
You know, background noise is great for a podcast.
Yeah, it really is. It is. I'm glad to hear you say that, Laura. But I really think that Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, and again, he probably can't see this now, but look, you guys have known this. I've known this. I've seen it. In my time covering the NFL, I've seen guys get labeled with a lot of different labels. And, you know, life is long. Careers are long. And I told them this yesterday off the air, you know, just saying, you know, look, you've got it in your hand, in your hands, your future. And I you know, these injuries, especially the one last year, it's so fluky. You know, it's so hard to imagine avoiding an injury like that. That, I mean, I think in my opinion, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to go down as an injury-prone quarterback. But he's got to fight that image right now, and he's got to beat that image this year.
I have to ask a follow-up question. Peter, I was probably going to save this for later, and I'm going to rephrase what I was going to ask you later. But after last season, can the 49ers just throw 2020 into the garbage can? Is this team ready to bounce back in 2021? Can they throw it into the dumpster and haul it away loudly like the garbage people behind you?
I think every season has merit, has meaning, has reason, all that. But the bottom line that I see is that this to me looks like the 49ers of 2019. Now, look, last year, basically the first 8 days of the season wrecked the 49ers. And, you know, those 2 fateful trips to the Meadowlands just killed them. And whatever the reason, whether it be coincidence, whether it be a bad field, whatever it was, the 49ers had their season basically wrecked, in September last year. So I don't look at last year and say, well, geez, they got to come back from being 6-10 or whatever it was. I look at last season and say that, if, and everybody can say ifs, but it's not really arguable that, you know, if they don't get just the onslaught of injuries they had early, they would have been a pretty good team and maybe even repeated what they did in 2019. But like I said, Matt, I think they're a lot more like the 2019 team than the 20 team.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that. I really get the sense that this team is honed in, and a lot of it plays off of what happened in 2020, a lot of lessons learned, and younger guys, backups having to come in and get their moment, and that creates depth for the 49ers. So, you know, hindsight 2020 could end up being a positive thing for this team. We were talking about COVID and, you know, just the bizarre scenario that we all lived through in 2020. Things seem to be getting back to normal for the most part as far as fans returning to the stands. I mean, the 49ers fans haven't seen the 49ers in person in a really long time. If they were lucky enough to go to the Super Bowl, they got to see him there. But, at Levi's Stadium, it's been since the NFC Championship game. When you think about things in the league just returning to quote-unquote normal, whatever that is, as a whole, I mean, I feel like it's an exciting time for NFL fans to be able to kind of get back to loving the sport and watching the sport that they love so much.
Three times in the course of a 9-minute conversation with Garoppolo yesterday on camera, he mentioned the fans and how, you know, like if you're being Mr. Team friendly, fan friendly, all that stuff. Oh, it's great to see the fans. Well, I mean, he mentioned it three times. I think it really means something to these guys. And yesterday, you know, with the crowd at training camp, with the music, it just really felt normal. But, you know, Laura, it's interesting. Because we do not, and we can't predict the Delta variant. We cannot predict what's going to happen and what the future holds. And, you know, look, I look at the Rich Eisen story, which to me is scary. Fully vaccinated, taking every precaution, he somehow gets it and he passes it on to his 7-year-old daughter. And basically you say, well, geez, you know, I mean, is the vaccine everything we thought it was? And not to be political, but I do believe that the vaccine, it may not be able to handle the Delta variant, but it does, obviously, according to doctors, make your experience with COVID, if you are infected with it after you get the shot, you know, you're able to handle it a lot better. So the one thing I would say, and I think this is a really important thing, is it's how teams handle it. I've heard that Ron Rivera is truly upset in Washington, and it's not just press conference upset. He is truly upset that a lot of his players do not recognize the importance of this moment for both their team and for their coach. I agree with him. So in other words, in Washington and in Buffalo, where you've got Cole Beasley on a soapbox, if he's not an anti-vaxxer, he's something. I don't know what he is. But how is that going to impact those teams? That's the really big question, I think, about how COVID is going to affect this season. Not only is it going to put some people on the sidelines occasionally, it just happened to Lamar Jackson. He got COVID for the second time. So those are the kind of things I think we just don't know yet. But I do think that, look, it's only been two training camps so far, but it strikes me that, you know, the proper notes are being hit and precautions taken.
Yeah, a lot of stuff we don't know around the league. And heck, I mean, bring it to the 49ers. A lot of stuff we don't know about the 49ers. So let's take quarterback out of the equation. What do you think is the biggest unknown? When you left Santa Clara, in your mind, what were you thinking? Like, you know, the 49ers could be good if this happens.
I mean, the two things that I leave there wondering about, I wonder about the secondary, the quality depth in a division that, I mean, if you look at this division right now on any given Sunday, there's going to be some good quarterbacking played. And so I worry about that a little bit. But, you know, it's funny. I was texting with an NFL coach last night, who I'm going to see in a couple of days. And I was texting with a coach and telling him, you know, the 49ers really look good, or they look really good to me. And he said, what are your questions? And I said, slot receiver and secondary. And he goes, that's a pretty short list for a team. And so he did. It was funny. And he also said, listen, if Bosa and that defensive front are right, I wouldn't be too worried about the secondary. So I would say, Matt, you know, there's a job to be won at slot receiver. Everybody knows that. And I have some doubts about how good this secondary is going to be, you know, and look, this is probably a whole nother half hour pod, but man, I just kept thinking to myself when I was watching yesterday, I said, all off field stuff aside, it'd be pretty nice for them to see Richard Sherman back there, no matter however many games he could give them, you know, but you know, it's not to be.
Yeah, that's been a whole, you know, storyline this offseason too. With Mayoko being the glass half empty kind of guy, I'm going to be the glass half full girl. He's got the concerns. When you left Santa Clara, what got you excited about the 49ers out, still leaving the quarterback talk off the table here?
I mean, there's not 5, 6, 7 teams in football who are going to be better than Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel outside. I mean, that's really going to be pretty good. But honestly, Laura, I just kept thinking to myself, the 49ers in the 4 years of the Shanahan Lynch regime have won 6, 4, 13, and 6 games. So when you think about it, honestly, when you think about it, there would be some owners who would look at this team and say, I don't care about whatever the contract says. This is a big year for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan because 3 of their 4 years, they haven't won. But obviously, Jed York is not – I don't think he's thinking that. I didn't see him when I was there, but he's not thinking that. He loves Shanahan. He loves Lynch. He thinks this is going to be a 10-year partnership and all that. And I think it's got a pretty good chance to be that too. But I just kept thinking to myself, this is the first time since Kyle Shanahan stepped on campus that he's had insurance at quarterback. And look, I'm one of the people who believe that the backup quarterback on the team, any team, is a top 10 most important player on the roster. And you look and see the Philadelphia Eagles won a Super Bowl because they had that attitude. It's so ironic to me that anybody who knows Philadelphia knows that people, you know, are killing them for using a second round pick, you know, on Jalen Hurts. And to me, they didn't do that to usher Carson Wentz out of town. Now it's turned out that that is what happened. They did not draft a quarterback in the second round 2 years ago to get rid of the quarterback they had. They did it because they needed insurance not named Nate Sudfeld after Carson Wentz. And that's the exact same thing I thought when I left the Niners yesterday. This is the first time entering year 5 that they can take a quarterback injury.
Yeah. Hey, Peter, thank you so much. I mean, Laura, talk about adversity. I mean, we got like Hitchcockian birds like swarming him. We got a garbage truck. Talk about a guy who is just an all pro. Peter King.
I'm a professional here.
Yeah. Yeah. Peter, hey, look, Laura, you're a professional. You're doing this at 6:30 in the morning with your hat on backwards with 3 kids screaming in the background. You're pretty good. You're pretty good.
That's the life I live, but I don't know. It sounded like you were at a zoo at moments. This is amazing.
Peter, it's great to see you on the sideline in Santa Clara and wish you well on your travels throughout the league. And we'll be reading you, of course, at FMIA.
Thank you very much. Hey, you already know what I'm writing Monday. There's no need to read it. I'm going to write about that pass from, you know, from Lance to Ayuk and the I've blown my cover.
I have a feeling you're keeping some stuff in your back pocket and 49er fans will want to read.
We'll see.
Thanks.
Hey, listen, great being with you guys. Hope to catch up during the season.
Graton Resort and Casino is your destination for 24/7 fun. Experience luxurious rooms, award-winning dining, world-class spa and salon, and the best gaming and entertainment around. Visit GratonResortCasino.com to book your 24/7 fun.
Laura, that was phenomenal.
That might be the best interview we've ever had.
That might be the best interview anyone's ever had.
The extracurriculars.
There was so much. And this podcast is released. It's released later on YouTube. If you get a chance to watch it,
please watch it.
It is phenomenal. When that garbage truck comes pulling up, when the birds are swooping down on him, that was awesome. I don't know that I've ever had so much fun.
No, Peter King was not phased at all. Like, I kept thinking, you know, we tape a lot of these, and so I was thinking maybe he's going to stop down because it's probably really loud. Yeah. And the bird sounded like it was sitting on his head. I mean,
yes,
the bird was very loud and sounded very aggressive. Anyway, he's so great. And I love, like you said earlier, getting the perspective of somebody that is not so ingrained with the organization as we are, and then also that travels around so much to see all of these different teams and has the experience that Peter King has. So that was a real treat to be able to hear from him and his perspective.
Yeah, and I thought a couple of things I want to hit on that he said. One of the things he said that he was texting with a coach, and he talked about the 49ers to this coach, and he said, yeah, it kind of looks like their issues are at slot receiver and the defensive backfield. And that coach said, well, wow, that's a pretty short list. So keep that in mind, 49er fans. Like when you start looking at about teams and maybe areas of concern, there's not a team in the league that's perfect. And if the concerns heading into training camp or a week into training camp are only two spots like that, that's a pretty good list. The other thing would be that he saw something that I'm not surprised, but I am, because you and I have talked about this. We both think that Deebo Samuel is pretty good. And I think that Brandon Ayuk as a receiver is even better than Deebo Samuel. And so for him to say that there might not be 5, 6, or 7 teams in football that are going to be as better on the outside with receivers, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk as the 49ers, to me, that was a huge compliment to those two young players and something that I didn't expect to hear him say.
I thought that was really interesting too, because there's no doubt that Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are great wide receivers. I think they've got to build on what they've already been able to accomplish. And, you know, Deebo Samuel entering his third year, Brandon Ayuk's got to build on his rookie season. You know, how is that sustainable? Is it just a rookie fluke going into a sophomore year? You know, you've got to be able to see how those things shake out. So I was impressed to hear that about those two guys.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's kind of switch it here and talk about the quarterbacks, because we did tape that interview with Peter after he'd watched a practice. Since then, there were a couple other practices, and we talked last week about what Kyle Shanahan wants to see from the quarterback position. And Kyle Shanahan kind of laid it out there about you know, what impressed him about Jimmy Garoppolo. And everything he said was stuff that, you know, me and you or the fans or even, you know, people who are watching, we wouldn't necessarily be privy to. So I can't tell you exactly where Trey Lance is in those areas. I mean, I can't hear him if he's saying the play correctly in the huddle, if he's, you know, his knowledge of the playbook, how he's able to make adjustments. You know, I don't know where he is with his pre-snap reads and if he's always going to the right place with the ball. I don't know how he's reading defenses. And I certainly don't know or can't predict how he's going to be able to make that adjustment when defenses start game planning for him and trying to confuse him with different defensive looks. I can't speak to any of that right now, but what I can say after watching 4 non-padded practices is that...
How many times have they practiced, Matt?
4, Laura, 4. What I can say is my eyes tell me that Trey Lance is a very, very impressive player. And we're talking about arm strength, accuracy, his ability to move in short areas to escape the rush, create space for himself to throw the ball, and then his ability to just run, which he did like none other at North Dakota State. You know, North Dakota State, that season that he had when he was the FCS Player of the Year and won the Walter Payton Award, 28 touchdown passes, no interceptions. He rushed for 1,100 yards and 14 touchdowns.
Seems fake.
He is on a completely different level than athletically than any quarterback I've seen in a long, long time.
Okay, but
with the 49ers.
I've got something for you then.
Yes.
Kyle Shanahan has obviously seen this out of him. He's also been up close with Jimmy Garoppolo and seen what he has to offer. And Kyle Shanahan's made it very clear that Jimmy's playing some of his best ball. Obviously, yeah. They don't have games right now. And he sung his praises, had so many great things to say about him. John Lynch as well, saying that this is not going to be an easy seat to unseat, and if you get what I'm saying there.
Oh, I completely agree. Completely understand what you're saying. I speak Laura Britt, so I know.
At this point, I feel like you should. Yeah. But, you know, it's not going to be easy to overtake Jimmy Garoppolo. So
not at all.
Does that give you more confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo, knowing that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have been saying that about Jimmy G, and then you go out and see how good Trey Lance is?
Well, I would say that Kyle Shanahan said that there's no open competition, that a player has to prove himself worthy of that competition. And the question that I'm posing is, if Trey Lance continues to look like this on the practice field, and we also know that he is a hard worker, he is a bookworm, he's a gym rat, he's all those things you want in your quarterback. If he's continuing to do all this stuff, then I'm telling you, there's going to be a competition.
So what did he do? What impressed you the most when you were watching Trey Lance?
He doesn't look like a rookie. And he throws the ball so well. You know, even there was a play he made. He threw a 45-yard pass down the field in practice on Friday, and it was not a perfect spiral. It kind of wobbled. And, you know, the safety coming over, Jared Maiden probably should have knocked it down. But it ended up being this 45-yard completion and then, you know, catch and run into the end zone. Just the fact that he was able to get that ball to a point where it wasn't batted down, that he did not make the perfect throw, and yet it was still good enough to succeed. The way he can run, like he has this short area quickness as a quarterback, where it's almost like a point guard, you know, kind of like able to kind of move in tight spaces and avoid the rush. But then if he's running, then he can just, you know, unleash it and run like none other. He's big. I mean, he's got everything. And man, I mean, I know the sample size is very small, but he looks impressive. And I don't want to be the rookie hype machine guy, but I guess I kind of am. Here's what I would say.
I want it like it is,
I'm just saying what I see. Right. That's all I can do. And we'll talk a little bit more about Mike McGlinchey and change subjects in a little bit. But I asked him about Trey Lance, and, you know, he's fully on board with Jimmy Garoppolo and very supportive, as is everybody in that locker room. But I said, don't you also kind of look at Trey Lance and what he's doing out there on the practice field and wonder, wow, you know, this could be kind of exciting too. So McGlinchey said, hey, we're lucky to have him, meaning Trey Lance. And he said, he's only going to push people, or, you know, this kind of competition, although it's not officially a competition yet, but when you have good players behind other good players, it pushes guys to get better. The one thing that he said to kind of wrap that up was, the sky's the limit for our football team with both him and Jimmy here. which then got me immediately thinking that, yes, I agree, Laura. I'm not going to hand this starting job over to Trey Lance. Obviously, I don't have that power. But
I thought
I'm
you
not,
did.
Oh, well, no. I mean, sometimes I like to think I do, but let's face it, I don't. So I still think, more than likely, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starting quarterback week one. But I've never been more sure of this statement, which is Trey Lance can help the 49ers win football games week one because of that skill set that I've seen so far on the practice field, whether it's running, whether it's throwing, you know, wildcat stuff, just either a change of pace, whatever the case may be. And here's another thing, Laura, I got to thinking, because this is kind of how my mind works. If the NFL, right, like right now, you'd have to say, you know, you can tick off so many different teams that have better quarterback situations. You know, just look at all the top, right? You know, all the top quarterbacks, you know, the Packers, despite everything going on there. You know, the Chiefs, you know, probably the Buccaneers. You know, we could go on and on and on with some of the great quarterbacks in this league and how their situation, Seattle, and how their situations are probably better than the 49ers. But Peter King also said in our interview, he said he always looks at the backup quarterback as being one of the 10 most important players on a team.
Yeah, that I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. And so I thought if the NFL were to enact a rule, whereas no team can start the same quarterback for more than 9 games in the 17-game season, I think the 49ers would be in maybe better shape than any team in the league because
we're creating new football rules.
We're gonna do new rules. I mean, last week you wanted to do double headers in football. Actually, that was me, wasn't it? Anyway, let's scratch that one. But I think that because, like, with Garoppolo, who I think is a really good quarterback, and Trey Lance, I think the 49ers are in really good shape. And finally, after 4 years, I think they do have a pretty good safety net at their quarterback position with two guys who I think the fan base should be pretty fired up about, whomever is quarterback. It's either going to be a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo, who when he's healthy, he plays well, or it's going to be Trey Lance, who is a dynamic presence as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you go back to our conversation with Peter King, and this is why there's so much excitement heading into this season, this team does resemble the 2019 team a lot more than the 2020 team. And that was just unforeseen circumstances with all the injuries that they faced. But there's good reason for the hype surrounding the Niners. I think every time you start a new season, every team's got hype around their team. Everyone wants to get back and see football, and probably more so this year than ever before because of what everybody went through last year. So there is hype all around the league. You could probably drum up hype around any team, but I think that this hype is warranted.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're a good team, and I think they would have been a good team last year, you know, obviously if they hadn't run into all those injuries. So there's so much to it. One of the guys though, that I think where there's an area for this team to get better, the offensive line, we've talked, you know, the addition of Alex Mack, and then we'll see if Aaron Banks steps in and takes over a starting job. But one guy who returns, who I think is going to be better, and I've said this repeatedly, he had a full off season to kind of figure out how to get better. He was one of the best run blockers in the league last year, wasn't as good in pass protection. We're talking about Mike McGlinchey. And when he met with the media on Saturday, it was fascinating to hear him talk because, you know, one of the things that he felt like he had to do, and, you know, he gave a big shout out to Dustin Perry, the strength and conditioning coach. He also gave a big shout out to Jordan Mazur. He's the team's coordinator of nutrition. Mike McGlinchey put on 25 pounds in the offseason. And so right now during training camp, he says he loses about 10 to 15 pounds every practice from just water weight. And he says he sweats like crazy. But I mean, think about that commitment. Like, he felt like he had to get bigger, stronger to handle the bull rush. And so I think he's primed to have a really good season at right tackle.
Yeah, he's obviously putting in the work. He has to eat every 2 hours, which I mean, I'll sign me up for that. Just not the 25-pound weight gain that goes along with it.
Did you see that? I sent you a text, Laura. Did you see that text I sent you?
I saw it. I did. That is the pork sandwiches that Mike McGlinchey is eating.
Yeah, it's called a pork roll.
A pork roll,
and
sorry.
And to be honest with you, I'm not sure there's any pork in that. It kind of looks like Spam or something.
It really does.
Yeah, it's not a good looking piece of whatever. It's certainly not.
Okay, we'll get to post the picture so everybody looks.
Yeah, we'll post the picture. But yeah, so he gave us a little lesson, and he's from Philadelphia, and he goes to the Jersey Shore every year, and apparently up in that area. And I did a little bit of research. I think it's up north, they're called pork rolls. Toward the south, they're called Taylor ham. And it's this thing that's this Spam looking substance. There's six big slices of it with an egg and cheese. And because he was putting on weight, he could eat those and not have any second thoughts. And that was part of, that was his guilty pleasure, I guess, in putting on the weight that helped him get 25 pounds. The pork roll, what he calls
pork
it.
Pork roll, yeah.
What they call it, yeah.
Get the pork sandwich because I'm from Alabama and all I think about is barbecue. So the pork roll is what he was eating. If you hear that, like one of my first reactions when I hear that is I'm like, all right, agility wise, how does your body handle that? And he considered that as well. And that was one of the reasons that he didn't want to get too heavy. And he was asked about that during, you know, his press conference, and he, you know, feels really good agility wise too, so that he's going to be able to handle the run game. That we've talked a lot about how important it is to be agile in Kyle Shanahan's offensive line for the type of plays that he runs. And, you know, Mike McGlinchey realizes that and recognizes that. And that's part of the reason he didn't want to put on the weight and was a little concerned about that, but he feels great about it now.
He wants the best of both worlds. And yeah. I mean, who doesn't, right? He knows that he was a really good run blocker. So he doesn't want to sacrifice any of the run blocking by, you know, he doesn't want to, the run blocking, so much of it is getting out there, being quick, hitting your spots. So they're, like you mentioned, the agile, you call it agile. I say agile.
I say agile. Somebody correct us. We'll put a poll out.
We'll put a poll out. We'll put up the picture of the pork roll and agile or agile. So anyway, but he also wanted to find that balance, right? Of what's going to make him a better pass protector while also maintaining that strength of being a great run blocker. So, very interesting that's one of those things. I mean, that's something I think that's tangible. You know, we talk all the time this time of year, you know, what did you do to get better in the off season, those 40 days away? And in the case of Mike McGlinchey, I mean, he had a plan and it sure looks like he nailed it. And I think Mike McGlinchey is in a very good spot. You talked about the mental game, but also the physical game. And that's where, man, again, the Mayoko hype machine is just on full force here. I just think that when I've looked at this team, you know, the pass rush, I think Peter King said that, you know, hey, if Nick Bosa is Nick Bosa, then you don't really have to worry too much about the defensive backfield.
But I should have filled him in, by the way, on it's Bosa-ing.
Yeah, if he's Bosa-ing people, yeah. If he's boasting people, then the 49ers are in good shape. But, you know, some of the guys, and again, they haven't put the pads on, so I think we can tell a lot more when the pads go on. But, you know, Arden Key looks good. Oh, Samson Ebukam looks really good. DJ Jones looks good. I mean, a lot of those guys on the defensive line who are going to have to step up have at least shown the appearance that they're stepping up. And I think a lot of that goes to Chris Kocerek, who Kentavious Street, he's another one that's really looked good. Kentavious Street described Chris Kocerek. Chris Kocerek is this really nice guy who loves his players, but I don't think you want like your children over there by the defensive line group when Chris Kocerek is teaching. You know, they probably
we'll call it.
Yeah, we'll call it teaching. They'd be coming to you saying, "Mommy, what does blankety blank mean?" And you'd have to like, "Hey, look at the squirrel over there,
Mr. Kocerek. Let's."
But Kentavious Street said he's like a teddy bear with spikes on it. That was his description of Chris Kocerek.
I like that. That's actually the imagery is right there.
Yeah.
Very spot on. Well, I mean, I don't want to cut the rookie hype machine off because you've been on a roll, but apparently they need to put you out there.
Oh, that would not work out well for anybody.
I think it would work out really well for me and my my camera. I would get it on a lot of video of that, and I think our listeners would really appreciate it.
Yeah. Would you visit me while I'm in traction?
I'd still do the podcast with
you. Okay, that's good. I could do it from my hospital bed. So yeah, that would
not. We would do it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I think in training camp, in football season, the thing that's kind of interesting about football, unlike baseball, like you get one game a week and you draw these huge conclusions after you see one game. And then the next week, a guy that you thought was horrible and should get cut ends up playing great. And now he's, you know, going for all pro. So there's this roller coaster. And I think, you know, training camp is much the same way. I mean, as you've heard me, I've been very positive in my praise of Trey Lance, but who knows? Maybe the next game or the next four block practice session, it'll be all Jimmy Garoppolo. But I just think, as predicted, I think the quarterback situation is fascinating to watch. And the first 4 days of practice did not disappoint me whatsoever.
Well, the good news is we'll be able to simmer on this for a few days, and then we'll get back at it with another 49ers talk when training camp gets going again.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.